How have you not seen this?
Welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This. As always, me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by just a coterie of lovely individuals. I am here with Dan Loper.
Heyo.
George Barnes.
What's up?
Jameson Rogers.
That's me.
And Alex Green.
Hey, everybody.
And we just watched Predators, the 2010 film starring Adrian Brody, cast heavily against type. As a fucking complete badass. Also, proof that you can do a sequel to a movie decades after the fact and make it good. A lot of franchises can take a cue from this. We'll get into that. Great ensemble cast as well. You've got Alice Braga, Danny Trejo, Lawrence Fishburne, Topher Grace, Walton Goggins, who's just a delight all the time. But wonderful movie. Also, executive produced by Robert Rodriguez, Troublemaker Studios. Also famous for the Desperado film, Sin City, Planet Terror from the Grindhouse, and all of those.
Spy Kids.
Pretty well. That's Spy Kids, of course. movie actually decently rated, I believe. Number one in my heart, as far as I'm concerned. So, Dan, how have you not seen this?
Well, I'm not usually big into the whole like sci-fi genre of movies.
Okay.
And I feel like after this, though, I might get back into that. Maybe dive into some 80s shit.
Oh, yeah.
And see what's out there.
Absolutely. Georgia, how have you not seen this?
I think when the opportunity presented itself, I went for the original. Got to see the singular version before the plural.
Okay, that's right. Before it got the James Cameron treatment.
Yeah.
That's fair. The original is a good one, and we will talk about the original definitely as well. Jameson, how have you not seen this?
Well, honestly, it's Robert Rodriguez. I knew he was producing it, and for a while his name was in the ring for directing the Deadpool movie, and I was like, that sounds awesome, and then he was like, nah, I'm really busy with this movie right now. I was like, fuck that movie, so I never saw it.
Man, that's, alright, a brand loyalty.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Alex, how have you not seen this?
I remember when this movie came out, I saw it and I was like, I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, instead of like going and finding badasses, they're like collecting all of the badasses on Earth, and two of the badasses they have collected are Adrian Brody and Topher Grace. So I was like, I'll pass on this one.
I think I should mention this movie also tied very closely to comedy for me. Actually, I saw this movie the summer it came out, the day after I went to the Cleveland House of Blues to see Patton Oswalt.
Oh, nice.
And that was the first time I saw Kyle Kinane, who is my absolute favorite. And that show, especially seeing Kinane, was kind of the torch under my ass to get more serious about comedy. That's when I started driving down here to Columbus for open mics. It was right after I finished college. It was before I'd really done more than like the last Comic Standing things. So I spent this great weekend in Cleveland with my friend. We went to that amazing Kinane and Patton show. We hung out, checked out all these cool shops, and I was like, oh, I really want to see the new Predator movie, and we went and saw that, and that was the last thing we did, and then I got in my car, drove back home from Columbus, and that was a nice little cap to a pretty great weekend.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
That's partially sentimental value, but also I fucking love this movie, on its own as well. So what did you guys think?
Like I said, I'm not usually big into the whole sci-fi genre, but this was a very excellent movie. Had a good balance of, a little bit of comic relief, a little bit of badassery, and just some straight-up gore.
A lot of badassery.
And some straight-up gore that, as a man, I appreciate.
That's fair.
I'm not a huge sci-fi fan either, but I enjoy this. I like explosions. I like green blood. I like continuous falling.
Hey, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah. I just love how much it just jumps right into it. There was
no
warning. I mean, we walked in the door, and you're like, play, and then it was just immediately, Adrian Brody is falling out of a plane. I don't know what's happening, but I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, there's no setup with Dutch meeting Dylan and having that weird moment where they do that close-up shot that lingers too long on the biceps.
I don't know how good his guns are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we found out how good Brody's guns are. We found out both of his guns. Well, all three of his guns, technically. Didn't find out about that fourth gun, if you catch my minute.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the original, I like that this one also directly references the original.
Yes.
In that scene very briefly, because a lot of times when, like, take something like the RoboCop remake, for example, like, it very much tries to do its own thing, but then, like, they'll still include these very forced references, like, the RoboCop remake from 2014 with, Joel Kinnaman. They just, like, shoehorn in a couple of the lines and scenes that don't really make sense. There's one point where Jackie Earle Haley's character, who's, like, this mercenary who helps, like, train RoboCop, says something to the effect of, like, I wouldn't buy that for a dollar. I was like, why the fuck did that... Come on, man. You didn't need to shoe that in.
There's too much effort behind it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this, there's too much. Like, you've got the moment where the original is directly referenced when Alice Braga's character, Isabel, is explaining...
Guatemala
and the entire incident from the first Predator with Dutch, Schwarzenegger's character. And then you have Adrian Brody being a badass and yelling, I'm here, kill me now, come on, fucking kill me. And that's a... let's just work from start to finish. Because there's so many things I love about this movie. I love that we don't find out Brody and Alice Braga's character's name until the very end of the movie.
I thought that was
really sweet.
Yeah, he set that up pretty early when he refused to say his name.
Yes.
It wasn't even that. Like, there was one time like where he's hesitant about it, and then like every other time they kept conveniently getting interrupted by something.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I thought was pretty great.
I just got impatient and went on IMDb during the movie. What are these fuckers' names? Tell me now.
I thought it was kind of like kind of a misdirect a little bit at first when they were like, oh, we're not going to learn their names. I thought, like, okay, and then they keep talking about how, like, every year they learn more tricks and stuff like that, all the things that Lawrence Fishburne was saying.
Uh-huh.
And so I was just thinking that they had, like, a developed kind of, like, Cylon shit, where they're just like, I'm just gonna become human, and, like, they dropped him in the middle of it and everything. I was like, oh, shit, what's gonna go on? But I was not disappointed by that. Once they actually, like, revealed who they were and everything, it was like, it was fucking earned. That was awesome. Kept guessing the whole time.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm a huge fan, and I'm sure I've mentioned on this podcast before, of the hunting people for sport trope, largely... popularized by The Most Dangerous Game, my favorite fucking story of all time. And I like how well it's incorporated into this movie. Probably my only remote complaint is the scene where Isabel explains the Predator's title away. Like, very obvious. She's like, on our planet, we're the monsters. I was like, I think most people got that. I don't think you needed to...
That was very much a Peter Griffin, like, oh, my.
Yeah.
A couple of us did that. Oh, they said it.
They said the thing.
Oh, we're the Predator.
That almost kind of spoiled, like, the Toby, like, what was his name?
Topher Grace?
Topher, yeah. It spoiled his reveal for me, because I'm like, the Doctor isn't a Predator. That makes sense. I'm like, oh.
He's
just saying, I don't know about it.
Yeah. Well, I like that, too, because, like, I mean, I feel like that was in the back of my head the first time I saw it. I was like, why is... Like, there's a reason Topher Grace is here.
Yeah.
I definitely did not see the reveal coming. And a lot of people, like, a couple of friends that I've talked to about this, they had a huge problem with the Topher Grace reveal.
Yeah.
And I... Fuck them, they're wrong.
See that?
Like, I... Well, like, did you not think it was consistent, or, like, were you just bummed that you kind of knew it was going to come?
Yeah, I think it just the way they set it up before, it just, like, because I think Adrian Brody's character kind of pointed it out. Like,
yeah.
Why is this guy here? He doesn't fit in.
Yeah.
And it just kind of spoiled it for me, and then I was just annoyed the whole movie trying to figure out, like, why aren't they talking?
Yeah, good point. Why is he here?
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Like, because he was supposed to be a doctor, but they're, like, when you have a doctor and, like, a team like that, he's supposed to be, like, helping people get better, and then when he, like, was hurt himself and couldn't do anything about it.
Well, I thought like, with that whole deal, it was like, all right, they're all dangerous people, and he's a doctor, so we know something. There's something we don't know about him. But I was like, is he going to go the route where he's doctor guy and do something doctor and save people, or is he going to do something crazy with that. Because I knew something was up as soon as he, like, kept the scalpel.
Yeah.
With the goo on. I was like, is he going to hit a predator with that? Is he going to hit one of them with that?
I think there's a decent parallel between his character and, like, the Scarecrow character in Batman. Because he kind of did the maniacal thing where he drugged a girl and then he's, like, revealing who he is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happens in Batman where he's like, here's the kinda scary
like
gas or whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you all the crazy shit I've been doing, and it's going to seem way scarier.
Yeah.
My voice is all warped and shit.
Kind of. I have plain sight.
And I did think that there was a bit of foreshadowing when he was, like, staring at the scalpel after he took poison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Way too long. Like, look at that.
Yeah, it definitely lingers, like, and there you definitely get a sense that something is not right with him.
Yeah. The moment I figured out that he was messed up was when he pulls out that picture,
Of
Nikolai's kids.
Yeah, and lied.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Nikolai.
You can't trust this guy. He's pretending he's hurt his
sacrificing himself.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass how he did it, though. He's just like, oh, I'm stabbed. I'm on this thing. Oh, hey, check this out. Grenade!
Yes. Fucking claymore on that dude. That was badass.
The look on his face, too, it was just like, gotcha!
Yeah, well, it's like spit in his face defiantly, too.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite fucking things in this movie. How badass is that sword fight in the
opening?
That was so good.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I knew when he picked up the sword and the thing, I was like, oh my god, there's going to be a sword fight.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Like, it's like that's what the original was missing is Yakuza.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what most movies are missing. It's just an epic sword fight.
I just want to know why he was so much sweatier than every other character for the whole movie.
Which, who?
The guy in the sword fight. I don't know people's
names. Oh, the do we know his name?
Hanzo. Was
Hanzo.
Hanzo.
Oh, is it really?
A lot of the characters you don't actually hear their names.
Okay, yeah.
Hattori Hanzo.
Yeah. Like, I think Topher Grace introduces himself, and you find out Nikolai's name, but I don't think anyone else... and Lawrence Fishburne's character introduces himself.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, nobody else, you don't know names.
That's
I think it's kind of cool.
A question I still had, too, is, like, all the time, like, when Lawrence Fishburne is talking, like, to himself, is he talking, is he just crazy at that point? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very much a cabin fever.
Yeah, he's
smiggling kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought that there might be just, like, some predator he just became friends with.
Yeah.
For a hot second.
Yeah.
Sitting there all invisible.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too, because, like, he says that he's been there, he thinks, like, 10 seasons or so. We have no idea what the fuck that means.
Well, how long a season is,
yeah,
or
like
how spaced out they are.
Yeah, or how long a day even is on this planet.
That's
also true.
Because, like, Adrian Brody makes that comment, like, about how the sun didn't move, like, in the few hours that were there already, so it was like, are there days longer? Is it, like, a 30 days of night thing, except in reverse? Because, like, from what we see... It takes place in the span of what we assume would be about a day.
Yeah, it seems that way.
And then the next day, they're already dropping more stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, minutes after they kill the last predator.
Is
it
a season?
So,
a
that's a season, so yeah.
That's like 10 whole days.
Fishburne's a pussy. It's only 10 days? Well, he can survive for 10 days. Come on, dude.
What's the thing? Like, is it a season? Are they restocking? Are they restocking their quarry? Which is what you do when the numbers get thinned out is you restock it, like you would a fish pond.
Yeah.
That's the fastest season has ever been? We don't know.
Yeah, maybe season's based on how quickly things escalate.
Yeah,
and that could be it too. I also like because they're dropping more animals in, and you also see people coming in too. So like they already had another round of people like ready to go, which is insane.
Yeah.
The turnaround time is quick.
Those predators get shit done.
Really?
Yeah. It seems like their main problem would be keeping them from killing each other before they got to though.
The people or the
predators? The people from killing.
It'd be funny if they added like a Hunger Games type element where it was like sort of like a media a frenzy around like it's like a sport.
It's a bunch of predators.
It's like ESPN 28 or something like
that. That's the next level. Is you get the coverage is just.
Speaking of next,
there's
level.
There's a John Madden of the Predators.
Yeah.
Just says the most obvious shit.
John Madden of the Predators just drawing on a chalkboard, just illustrating Adrian Brody's play in that final play.
Just flipping his dreadlocks and shit.
Yeah. how sad was it to see Danny Trejo go?
Immediately,
so
he was the first guy. Like
the first guy to beef it.
The the moment that Danny Trejo dies before Topher Grace, I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
He was 66 years old when the movie came out. Or 65 right? years old.
Trejo, yeah.
He's an older guy.
And that's, he's like 70 now.
Right? He's 70 now.
Wow, that's insane.
That's how I know that, because I was, like I said,
IMDb.
Yeah.
That's a 72. Chuck Norris.
Really?
Yeah.
His birthday's
coming up.
Chuck Norris is not in this movie. So
he's not in this movie.
He's not.
But he is 70.
But he is one of those high action guys.
He is.
Yeah.
Star of Expendables 2.
Yeah.
The only star of Expendables 2.
You bite your goddamn tongue. There's so many. No, I will direct you to the episode of this podcast where we discuss Expendables 2 and my love for it, you son of a bitch.
I love Expendables 2.
It is the best of the Expendables.
I didn't see the third one.
It's,
is it necessary?
It's, I mean, it's worth watching.
Okay.
But it's yeah. It's probably the least effective of the three. Where were we? Predators.
Danny Trejo died soon.
Danny Trejo.
I'm sad about it.
When, at one point in time, like, I forget, I think Walton Goggins was arguing with somebody, and he said, well, this ain't, what did he say? And he said, this ain't this goddamn morning, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
But
after,
you don't really know. I mean, they don't really show anything to denote, like, the passage of time. That's one beef that I had with it. But it's still, like, I think, it, like, all told, it's probably about a day, right? It's
yeah.
Really goes
well, that's what I like. Is like, the film is very much in relatively close to real time, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is something I appreciate, because I hate when a movie takes place over a longer period of time and you have no fucking
exactly.
sense.
It's no 24, okay?
Look, man. 24 had Predators in it. I might
oh my
give
God.
A shit.
New show, guys. New show idea.
Call me back when Jack Bauer is fighting Dennis Hopper in Predators and I will care.
Dennis Hopper as King Koopa? Is that what you're
Look, man. Allow me to put my own twist on that Portlandia joke. Put a predator on it. Alright? You want me to watch Boyhood? Put some fucking predators on it. You want me to fucking watch, shit, I don't know, American Sniper? Put some fucking predators in it. You tell me that Bradley Cooper's in Afghanistan fighting predators?
I'm
in. Give a shit about that movie
all
of a sudden.
You already have my money. Clint Eastwood should direct a predator. That's what's weird though is this came out in 2010. You said
yes, mm-hmm.
And now it's 2015. There's no more. There's no more yet. They set it up, but there's been two Alien versus Predator movies. Why?
Yes, both of those before this though.
Oh, okay. So I mean,
yeah. I own both of them. I can say with confidence they are not as good as Predators.
Yeah,
but I do enjoy them for what they are. And there's been an Alien movie since.
Yeah,
a terrible one, but yeah. I know they've talked about it, and Brody's even said that like he would do the role. Like, he would absolutely do it. So I am very pro that. What's the director's name? I think it's Nimrod Antal, something
yes.
like that. Yeah, Nimrod Antal. Like they've talked about doing a sequel, and I don't know why the fuck they haven't, because it did pretty well.
Will that be called Predators?
Predators.
More Predators.
See, I've got the wiki pulled up. Let's see what we got. It's been confirmed, but let's see. Oh, here we go. June 2014, Fox announced a sequel, Shane Black writing and directing.
Oh!
Which I am very much
that excited sounds
about,
awesome.
Shane Black is fucking
oh,
wonderful.
Hell yeah. Is he still going to do Death Note?
I don't know, man.
Yeah,
Death Note, like the anime?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I heard he was supposed to do that for a little while.
Look, man, Death Note got Predators in it. Look, there's only two Shane Black movies that I care about. This new Predators and him doing another Iron Man. Those are the only Shane Black movies that I care about.
See, like, not a whole lot of people liked Iron Man 3.
Well, they're fucking wrong.
I agree. That movie was fucking amazing.
I was a little upset that his thing was a triangle, but it's...
That happens in the comics.
Well, actually, in the comic books, are there fucking Predators in the comic books?
There could be.
Well, there were in Batman. I don't know why Batman vs. Predator hasn't been a fucking...
Oh my god. Imagine the possibilities.
There's actually a really dope short film that's really well done. I think Dead End is the name of it, where Batman fights an alien and a predator.
Oh, really?
And it's like 10 minutes long, and it's dope as fuck. It's very well done.
Is it on YouTube?
Yes, it's on YouTube.
Can you do a podcast about that short film?
I won't do a podcast about it, but we can watch it after.
Yeah.
It's very good. So, well, we mentioned we got this great ensemble cast. I like the way that all the characters are introduced, too. Like, there's no... I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but like, it seems very natural, the progression of them all meeting each other, introducing each other, and what, like, it's very nonstop too. It's very fast paced. After Brody lands, then Danny Trejo lands, and then immediately his guns on him, then a dead dude's parachute doesn't open, and then a Russian guy is laying out on him with a fucking chain gun.
Yeah.
And then, oh hey, here's Alice Braga. Out of nowhere.
Hello, Topher Grace, up in a tree.
Yeah.
What, you couldn't make it down. What a cute guy.
What are you doing in that tree, Foreman?
I
dumbass.
Your dad's going to be mad.
You know what I thought would have gotten diminishing returns but didn't was Topher Grace just constantly saying the word fuck. Oh my God. I was like, the novelty of this should have worn off the first 2 minutes, but every time he says it, it's pretty funny. He's got some good comedic sensibility.
There's a moment after they get him down where he has glasses on for like 2 scenes.
Yeah.
And then he just doesn't have glasses on anymore. It's like,
well,
why
he
needs
to know he's smart, Alex.
Well, I mean, he said he was a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they need to visually give us doctor stuff?
Yep, that's doctor evidence.
I mean, they already put the a scalpel, too. I mean, anybody could have a scalpel.
Sure,
only doctors
right
have
now.
A scalpel,
yeah.
And glasses.
In our pocket. You want to see it? It's a podcast. You can't see it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he lost his glasses. He did do a lot of running
around.
That's
true.
I mean, he did fall into a lake when he lost them.
Yeah, that's true, too.
My problem was more that he just randomly just had them on. They're just like, you know, he fell into the lake. I was also kind of...
Well, he took them out. You see him, like, he's like, oh,
I
need to put my glasses on.
I missed that part.
Yeah.
Did they also miss the part where they just, like, pulled guns out of things, or did they all land on their guns?
No, their guns were secured to them.
Oh, okay.
So, like, when Adrian Brody was free-falling, like, his fucking badass flechette automatic shotgun was, like, slung over his shoulder and secured.
Yeah.
And then Danny Trejo had, like, the shoulder straps for his MP5s or whatever they were well.
Predators play fair. Make sure that you're well-armed.
It's also interesting, too, something I thought about this time. Like, all the military people, like, Adrian Brody is a mercenary. Alice Braga is like IDF. Nikolai was clearly like in Chechnya during whatever conflict was going on there. But then you've got Topher Grace, who is a killer, but like probably kills innocent people.
Yeah.
Not a warrior by any stretch. And the same thing with Walton Goggins.
Right.
And the entire movie, Walton Goggins and Topher Grace both never have anything that like would do well against the person who didn't see it coming, but not a predator. Which makes me wonder if the Predators just didn't care, or like somehow still thought that they were worthy warriors, or if Predators were also like, let's do a little bit of a community service to Earth too, and put these fucking terrible people on our planet. And who gives a shit about sportsmanship? Be damned on these two. We put like 5 special forces people in with them. They should be fine.
No, I feel like their play was the two of those guys were like supposed to mix stuff up and.
Wild card.
Yeah.
Wild card, bitches.
Yeah. The criminal... I don't know. I'm not a criminal. I should preface this by saying that.
Good job.
But I feel like, you know, obviously when you're a military person, you're trained a certain way, your mind works very tactically.
Certainly.
But when you're just a crazy, insane person, like you guys saying, wild card, like, who knows what they could be thinking, what strategy they could do. Maybe they do something ridiculous and it ends up working out brilliantly, and maybe they do something ridiculous and they kill themselves in the process.
Yeah.
That's just the dice you roll.
Yeah.
You gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them. That's just how it is.
Know when to walk away.
Did the gambler have some predators in it?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, man, if it does, my respect for Kenny Rogers just went up immensely. Yeah, I'm up on a... What was on train down for nowhere. Ran into a predator. We were both too tired to sleep.
Oh my God! That scene with Walton Goggins, like when he was like, he thought he was down.
Mm-hmm.
Did not see that coming, and that was just like fucking badass.
Oh yeah, when he jumps up on the predator and just starts shivving him.
Yeah.
Did he end up stealing that armor? Because he had something underneath.
Yes.
His...
Yeah, he did. And that's what saved him.
Yeah.
I thought that was just an insane.
I was like, that's a weird armor. Did he steal that armor?
He did. Which is smart.
Yeah.
They all started stealing stuff as soon as they found out that Nolan was trying to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, alright, we're gonna snag all this shit. I also like, too, Adrian Brody makes the comment that the Predators were toying with them when they were trapped in the room, like, getting smoked out. Part of me almost wonders if that was the Predators going, this is fish in a barrel. This isn't very sporty. Let's give them a way out. But I can see it going either way. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's just something that never really crossed my mind before.
When they did the two parts where people said, like, that's what I would do, or that I've done that.
Yeah.
Like, I was wondering when they would, like, go through each of the characters and be like, that's what I would do, because they're doing that now.
Yeah.
They're doing my thing now. I thought that would have been interesting, but they just sort of left it at those two.
Yeah. Well, those were the biggest things you needed.
Yeah.
Because, Mombasa was, his thing was, what fucking military affiliation did he have?
Who's that again?
Sierra Leone Revolutionary United Front. That's what
that's
it was.
Right.
Death Squad. So his thing totally made sense because it was in regards to the Predators bleeding Danny Trejo out and trying to bait them into walking into a minefield, essentially.
Yeah.
And then Adrian Brody, not entirely, like, he's not literally punted men in the sense that, like most dangerous game has people hunting people, but he's a mercenary, so he's a contract killer. It's like he knows all that stuff about, like, the deadfall and everything, and, using the dogs to flush the game and kind of gauge their capabilities. But I think these are all really cool directions that this installment took the franchise in, because this Predator 2... Have all you guys seen the first Predator?
Undecided. I can't remember
if
I've seen it. I know I've seen the second one.
Okay. What about the rest of you? Have you seen Predator 2?
I have not seen 2. I've seen
I think I've seen most of Predator 2, but I don't know if I've seen it at all.
2 is pretty good. I like it. I think it gets shit on a lot more than it deserves. But those movies are both very similar in terms of just the general idea. Because both times it's just, there's a Predator hunting people.
It's
and
like the
whatever.
Home Alone 2 of Predator.
Exactly,
yeah.
Except
same
instead of Schwarzenegger setup. In a jungle, this time it's Danny Glover in L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
and Predator is just completely kind of goes its own direction, goes in a much more interesting direction. It's like, hey, what if there was just a planet where this was just a daily thing that happened?
Oh, dude, I was all about that reveal, too.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I think this... it makes the franchise stronger for it, which is why fucking Star Wars people crying about a lightsaber hilt can fucking eat it, because Christ forbid they do something different, you nerds. Sorry they're not doing fucking Jar Jar Binks again, because that went so well last time.
No,
but
we're gonna do Jar Jar Binks, but we're gonna give him more ears. That's what
we're gonna
do.
Yeah. We're gonna have him be more of a racist caricature. But yeah, I definitely like them kind of injecting some innovation here, some new directions with the franchise, and doing some really cool stuff. And I'm very excited to see what they do with another one.
Mm-hmm. With what they, like, the different direction they took, it sort of made me wonder if, like, you know how at the end of Predator 2 when they, like, take Danny Glover onto a ship and, like, honor him?
Yeah, and give
it's
him the trophy.
Sort of, yeah, and it sort of made me think, like, are these people on this planet, are they, like, different... like rogue predators who are like fucked up guys who are like the other guys just go to their planet and like you know and then if they kill them then they get honored and all that stuff. These guys are just like fuck all that shit. We're just gonna take them onto this planet, kill them, nobody has to know about it.
Yeah,
if they kill us, nobody has to know about it.
Well, and Nolan makes that distinction too, that there's two kinds, the big guys which are the primary ones, and then the small ones, which is the Predator from, like, the first two films,
exactly.
Like Alien versus Predator. I also think it's interesting, too, because the other difference is the original Predator is, a solo hunter. These ones hunt in a group, like in a pack. And I thought that was really cool. And, again, that's just another little innovation that they do with the franchise that keeps it interesting and... they still do enough that, like, it feels familiar at the same time. Like, even the score in this one sounds like Alan Silvestri's score from the original one, and I fucking love that.
That's great, man. That's, like, really all you need to have just a little bit of continuity and just familiarity. Like, and, like, if you're doing sequels that far apart, mm-hmm. just, like,
yeah.
the easiest way to start is just, like,
exactly.
score. You know?
It's like, how many franchises have people come back to after decades? Like, and have fucked it up. Like, Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Star Wars.
Die Hard.
Die Hard. Especially fucking Die Hard.
Yeah.
The Terminators even have
yeah.
suffered, which is unfortunate. Alien
yeah.
with Prometheus.
Yeah.
I can't speak because I haven't seen Dumb and Dumber 2, but...
You don't... You're right.
Okay.
It's beyond disappointing.
Yeah, like, there's no reason that they can't be. Like, Predators yeah. is... living proof that you can go back to a franchise that sometimes passed between and you can still honor the original place that it came from and still make it new and exciting and also good. And it's a bummer that more franchises haven't figured out how to kind of bridge that gap.
Yeah.
They get lazy because they know money's going to come in either way.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's very true.
That's why, I mean, I might eat my words when it actually comes out, but when J.J. Abrams first started on Episode 7, like, the first thing he did was make sure John Williams was on board, which
yeah.
is fucking
yeah.
dope.
Yeah, that's fair. December, maybe I'll tackle the new Star Wars on here.
Yeah.
we'll see how it goes.
New blood.
Yeah. is there any other points you guys wanted to hit?
Let me check my
yeah,
notes.
Check your handy-dandy notes.
This might be someone's favorite thing, so I'll just hold on to it.
if it's not, are you gonna bring it up?
If it's not, it'll be mine. Yeah,
that's fair. That's something else I want to hit on really quick. What we're talking about, and because Dan mentioned earlier, he's not really super into sci-fi action stuff. This is another movie that anytime I talk about action, or even like sci-fi action, somebody's just like dismissive, like "fuck you."
Yeah, you can't dismiss an entire genre.
Yeah,
right?
Especially like this. Genuinely, like, I believe it to be a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would argue that this is a modern day equivalent of the Die Hard of this genre, in that it's written well, it's got great characters. And, like, it's not just good for its genre,
yeah.
it's a good movie.
Yeah, and it's constantly moving, and the same way that the first Die Hard, it's just like, there's really no setup, he's just like, I'm in LA, I'm gonna see my wife.
Exactly.
And that's
yeah. Well, and every scene, every line advances something, there's no point where you're like, we could probably cut this, because everything belongs, everything
exactly.
fits, and it's just a really perfect example of the genre. You look at your best, say something.
I was just thinking that, like, that's such a comedian's take on dialogue, because I feel like to stand up you have to, like, cut out, like, all the things you don't
yeah,
need to
word
keep
cut.
The
that's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Normal
and
people watching that don't get that.
I'm like, nah, you can pad it out. This
what are normal
scene
people
can
about?
Be,
I don't get it.
This scene can be 5 minutes long. It's like, that doesn't
mean
to be
normal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People who aren't stand-up comedians.
Yeah, this is one of my go-to examples anytime that I have to defend or explain away this genre. I'm just going to mention it probably like on every time I tackle one of these like one of these types of movies on the podcast. I'm just fucking sick of it because I'm just bummed that people won't get over it. Like, look, man, Blade 2 should have won a fucking Oscar. Right? Fuck you. The Academy Awards are happening right now. And all kinds of bullshit that's not fucking Blade 2 is winning Oscars. I'm so mad about it.
Do you think if that happened, it would have prevented Blade Trinity?
Oh,
no, man. It absolutely would not have.
Oh,
in
okay.
fact, it might have even...
might have made it good.
Preemptively. No, that was all studio. And I need to do the Blade movies at some point, too.
Yeah.
But action movies, they never get their due, I feel like. And even a lot of science fiction for the most part, because even a movie like Blade Runner and Terminator, like, those are movies that didn't really get a lot of the accolades they deserved until well after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Blade Runner wasn't accepted as being a really good movie and a really solid example of what the genre was capable of until like a decade after.
Part of that was the original theatrical release.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That's true, yeah.
And that's understandable. But then you look at something like RoboCop, which lost to the last, or not lost to, because it wasn't fucking nominated, but the best picture that year was The Last Emperor, which was a throwaway nothing film, and again, like a movie like Raiders of the Lost Ark losing to Chariots of Fire, like, who fucking knows what Chariots of Fire is? So there's just all these kinds of examples of just genre films just getting dismissed and cast aside. I mean, and ultimately it's meaningless because everyone knows the Oscars don't fucking mean shit.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
I think
Wars,
they're on
like,
tonight and we're here.
They're absolutely on.
Yeah.
Like those movies, like they've built their own legacy. They've established their place as important cultural text, regardless of not getting an award, but all the same, fuck the Academy is what I'm saying. Unless you want to give me money for this podcast, in which case I am at your beck and call and I'll say whatever nice things you want me to say about Boyhood or Doubt or whatever other movie I haven't seen yet.
But the important question is, did you see Birdman?
Oh, I saw Birdman. Birdman's
amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's totally fine. Birdman was fine.
Spoilers.
Birdman,
no spoilers, guys.
Birdman would have been better. There'd been a fucking predator in it. So
I don't disagree.
The voice in his head is a predator.
It's just Adrian Brody. He used to be something. Gotta get off this fucking planet. I don't know if I've said it already or not, but this is obviously my favorite Adrian Brody role.
Oh,
this is my
it
favorite.
Seems like it. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah, this is my favorite role he's ever taken on. Close second being him and the Brothers Bloom.
Oh, that was a great movie.
That's a really solid one, which they just put on Netflix, so I may be doing that one soon, actually. I like that movie a lot.
That's a good one.
I think that's all I've got to say as far as genre stuff without repeating things that I've said on just so many episodes past. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'll do our favorite moments. Start with you, Dan.
Well, I feel like any moment that involves Walton Goggins is just going to be great.
Walton Goggins is so good.
And like I mentioned during the movie itself, I was like, I kind of wish this was just a sequel to The Shield. Because his character in that show was phenomenal, too.
Yeah.
But just when he's like laying in the jungle, just like, man, when I get home, I'm going to do so much cocaine.
That's so funny.
All those terrible things.
And you see a look on Topher Grace's face, just like, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. You guys like, don't talk to him.
Yeah.
So that was probably my favorite moment. They kind of broke up the action.
Yeah, absolutely.
The action of the movie.
And there was a good balance. Again, just kind of like Die Hard incorporates that very well. Like, there are those moments of levity which make it easier. Cool. Georgia?
Right after Adrian Brody cut down the trophy predator, I really enjoyed like the 5-second Larry David style stare down that they had. Or in that time, the predator decided, okay, I'm not gonna kill you now, but I'll explode you in that ship over there in a couple minutes.
Well, it was a different predator though.
Oh, I did pick up.
It was the big predator that blew him up. The little predator was going to let him go.
I thought he was just playing tricks. No.
You cut me down. Yeah. That would have been so great if that was the music as we walked back into the chat. We got to find a way to get off this fucking planet. Whoop!
Predator just gets caught up on something so mundane and doesn't matter.
Oh, Jameson, favorite moment.
Well, actually, there's one like right when they see the edge and they see all the planets that are like, around and everything.
Oh, that's a cool
scene. Because it reminds me of like that one shot in Jaws where Brody like pops into the frame. He's got the cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and like right before he ducks into the cabin, he's like, "We're gonna need a bigger boat." And then he says, "Like, we're gonna need a new plan." I was like, "That's fucking awesome!"
Yeah.
The
parallel.
They had the Jaws music in there too, didn't they? A little bit.
No, it was very similar.
Yeah,
it was very similar.
Yeah.
Alex,
it was. I've already mentioned how much I love the sword fighting scene, so I won't go into that.
No, if you want to, please.
The part where I got the biggest boner, though, it was
Adrian Brody.
Shirt off, mud covered, Adrian Brody. Not too bad, not too shabby, you guys. But when the moment that the thing that looks like a predator has that gun on Adrian Brody, pretty much doing the same thing that he did to Nikolai earlier on.
Yeah.
And then they go, "Who are you?" And he just goes,
I'm alive.
Yeah.
And my whole brain was just like, oh my god, it's Morpheus. Oh god. He's going to teach us all things and how to live in this world.
Take booth pills, see what happens.
I remember everything, I forget everything. Oh god. But it was just such a like a perfect, like, because you think that they're just dead, like that's it, like you've got the main guy dead to rights,
yeah,
and he's still got that predator mask on, and then just all of a sudden it's like, oh hey, I'm alive. That's such, yeah, a badass line too. It's like you didn't even need,
yeah. Well, that's what I love the callback too, because when Topher Grace gets caught in the snare, mm-hmm, later, and Alice Braga's trying to free him. And Adrian Brody is like, no, they want you to feel something for him. Mm-hmm. They want you to be human. She's just like, what are you? I'm alive. Yeah. And then he just walks off.
Yeah.
Oh, man. For me, yeah, there's so much. The entire movie. I love this fucking movie. Obviously, anything Adrian Brody does, yeah, I fucking love, because he's such a badass in this movie. I guess for me, the entire end sequence, up from the point where he pulls him out of the pit to the predator, the end of the predator fight, is particularly when Topher Grace is going to go to kill him. He's like, oh, you're a good man. He's like, no, I'm not. And then just turns, stabs him in the throat. I'm fast. I was like, I got chills in the theater. Like, I was just like, oh my god, that's so badass. That's so badass. And then just later, Topher Grace just begging, I'm like you. Grenade, booby trap, bam. But, yeah, that entire final fight sequence, it's great, because it's another one of those things where it's a throwback to the original, but, like, it doesn't harp on that. Like, it does it its own way while still just kind of nodding and acknowledging the source material. And Brody just being a fucking badass. And beating that dude with what essentially is, like, a little fucking predator hatchet or whatever.
Yeah.
Is just so fucking badass. And just running around and just doing exactly what Schwarzenegger did in the first one. It's,
yeah,
such a great fucking scene. Cool. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you guys for being on the podcast.
Yeah,
Tim Umber, Georgia Barnes, Jameson Rogers, Alex Green. Thank you guys for listening. If anyone knows Shane Black that's listening, tell him to get this fucking movie made like yesterday, please. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.